It's on now. Hi, guys. Y'all know I'm not a husband, so I am here to introduce the men's. This is a conversation. Yes, give them some love. Give them some love. This is a conversation that we've been doing since the first Black Love Summit in 2018, the husband's panel. It's like a fly on the wall situation. Tommy don't tell me nothing. He don't tell me nothing anyway. But he just kind of does what he wants to do. So all of that said, and I have no idea how they're about to walk out, I will first introduce, actually, Tommy will be last. So I actually did a funny Instagram post the other day highlighting these men, and I entertain myself with these little captions. So I'm going to give them the same titles I gave them on social media. So the OG husband on the panel, Warren Campbell. I can't tell you the number of years married, but it's over 20. Then we have the OG married out of high school, Neil Brown Jr. Easily, what, are they at 20 years now? I think so. With his young self, y'all see Neil looking 20, but been married 20 years. Then we have, as I said, the one who never thought he'd get married again. That's Michael Jai White. And then the newlywed, Major. Major, I was gonna say with the taco meat, but he's not letting it out today. So Major with the cute vest. They laughing at it. Come on out, y'all, come on out. And my husband, Tommy Oliver.
I feel official now. I'm a part of the husband's panel.
Yes, you are, taco meat.
That's all right, it's shredded premium beef.
Oh man. What up, black people? Like my wife said, we've been doing this thing since the beginning, and it's really just, so going way back, one of the things that was really cool about shooting Black Love in the beginning was that I didn't come from a...
It's fly. I'm sorry. It's a fly.
Bruh, I'm from Philly, always doing karate.
Like you can't just...
It was a fly. It's good. It's gone.
This is a ninja. I told you. That's what you get when you bring a ninja to your show. He's always doing karate. Chop. He will get you. Don't get too close.
I didn't see a lot of married couples. I didn't know married couples growing up, and I didn't really understand how to be a husband. But I knew that I wanted to be a good husband. I knew that I wanted to try to understand from people who had done it before. And I'm a research junkie, I'm an information junkie, and so the idea of being around people who had gone through it, and it ain't easy. I know that, but I didn't really understand. And so I remember shooting season one. Those two were, like, we shot them way back when. They were both season one, and they had been married for a long time, and just hearing from them the things that they went through, the mistakes that they made, the things that they were just trying to understand, it was the beginning of kind of creating a marriage village. And so it's not that we talk about marriage all the time, or that we need to talk about marriage all the time, but it's somebody that I can call if I need to talk about something, like anything, or even if it's just we see each other somewhere and it's just like, you know, how's the wife? How's the marriage? How's, like, whatever it is. And it's really valuable for me to have that and to hear from people, and not in the platitudes, not in the, you know, here's what, you know, a bunch of other crap. It's the real. And because without the real, it doesn't actually help anybody. And I was just talking for the sake of hearing yourself. Yeah. And so that was what it was for me. And everybody up here, I mean, you've not been on the show yet.
But you use my music.
We've had his music. We've had your music as a part of the show. And it's been in every trailer since season two. And we love it. And you are part of the family. And now Mr. Why I Love You is actually married. And yes, so it's pretty awesome.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to start by asking anybody, what's something that you didn't understand about marriage until several years in?
I don't know how long that list is.
All of it.
Anything.
That's a loaded question. I mean,
it is.
Because I understood so little going into it. I think one of the most, I'll say, important things was at the beginning of my marriage, I didn't know who my wife was in terms of who she was supposed to be, who she would be in my life. Not just the person I lay down and slept with and cooked meals every day, but how she was really supposed to be everything, how we were everything to each other. She was a person that I told everything to. She was like my best friend. I didn't go into it knowing that. And then years in, I'd say about year 8, 9, the marriage started getting really good, and I started seeing her as my best friend. I started like doing things like, you know, that I didn't do before, like putting our bank accounts together. Because I didn't do that. We had separate everything, you know, the prenups and all this stuff. I said, why are we doing all this? We together. I love you. I want you to know everything I have. I want you to, you know, I started merging more. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is the two shall become one. And I didn't realize how real that really was till years in.
You know, I was like 18 years old, man. I ain't know nothing. I really didn't know. I didn't know how to love a woman. I didn't know what love was. I mean, I thought I did, right? But our idea of love, we talked about this in the special. Our idea of love is that idea thing is, that's just lust and sex. Love is, you don't know how much you love a person until they piss you off for real. And your capacity to want to still be there and to work through it and to learn and to evolve and to grow. That's love. Love is work. It's hard work, a lot of laughs in between, and a lot of compromise. And I didn't know how to do any of those things. My wife, I credit her with teaching me all that. I credit the children with teaching me more patience than anything. But, like, I didn't know that I wasn't the boss. I thought I was the boss. I thought by virtue of me being the man, and was, you know, I'm loving the Lord, and I'm the boss. I'm Father, Son, I'm right here. And then they come to you. Like, no, but she's the partner. She's the Holy Spirit. She's the... Yeah. She's just that part of that Trinity, right, between us. So I had to learn that. I'm still learning it, don't get me wrong. I'm still getting it, but it takes a long time. And the journey is awesome. Yeah. But I know so little, man. I still don't know nothing. I'm still learning. But that was a big shock. Like, I guess the real, like, shock early on was, like, I wasn't the boss just because I was the husband in the marriage. You know, does that make sense?
It does. And it reminds me of one of the biggest lessons that I learned through shooting the show, which is the idea of uncommunicated expectations. And so you go into something, you go into marriage, and you have these ideas of what a marriage is or what your role is or what somebody else's role is, but you don't actually say it. You don't say this thing that's so foundational. Like, what you said is it's a part of everything. It's a part of every interaction. It's a part of every decision. But you never actually say that one thing, yet you judge the other person because of that thing every single day. And learning that, that's actually on us. If we choose to not communicate our expectations and then that expectation isn't met, that's my failure. That's not my spouse's, that's mine. And so to realize that was a big thing. And we need to be able to talk about those things. We need to be able to be okay with the idea that they might not be okay with it. And you got to figure out that new place, that new normal, because it's not going to be what you expected.
True story.
What about you two? Well, not you yet.
I mean, I got stuff to share, though.
Look, the first year of marriage is hard as hell.
Oh my God. And I love my wife.
Love, not easy. Love's not enough.
It's not easy. Not easy.
Tell me why it's not easy.
It's not easy. First off, I want to apologize to every couple that I saw kind of going through stuff, and I'm like, well, just do this. You know, I want to apologize to every couple. Because, you know, I'm wise beyond my years. They know that, right? And I know how to, you know, deal with relationships, so I thought.
And I'm like, yeah, just, you know, just, okay, this is all you have to do. Just let her know what you're feeling, right? And then I'm in it, and I'm like, I let her know what I'm feeling, but it's not working. And they say, I told you, you're human. She's human. This is a perpetual journey, a journey of becoming, undoing and becoming, undoing and becoming. And one of the best things that we could have done, and we're just a year and a half in, and I don't care what y'all say, this pandemic, that gets me 3 years. I don't care. I don't care. So judge me if you want. I'm 3 years in. All right? But we did premarital. And a shout out to Brother Ben Myers, Dr. Ben Myers. He said, welcome to the university of your partner. In this university, you may study and work very hard, but you'll never graduate. He said, at this university, you'll be the valedictorian, but you're the only student. And I said, thanks a lot, Brother Ben. I'm excited about this one.
Because that means you're also last in the class.
Exactly. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Well, I guess I would say a couple years in, I guess what I learned is I learned how loving somebody else could be so self-serving. The thing about, you know, the first, I always say that my wife, the me that I am now, my wife is the first person that experienced that person. Because I never was that person before. And so when I dared to venture into being completely transparent, warts and all, everything, to where I wouldn't even, I mean, I never did anything so pure in my life. And what I got back was something I never thought was even possible. Because I put 100% of me in everything, right? There's not one skeleton, everything just completely honest. And that made her do the same thing. So then everything was magnified. Every taste test. Everything you did. And so that's why sometimes in a situation, as you know, Tommy, like I get in these situations, like I get into marriage conversations and I just want to just go, I just want to shut up because I don't want to be talking about how it is because I know a lot of times it don't sound real. I've known her. She's been my best friend. I have more fun with her than any of my male friends. And sometimes, you know, people don't want to hear that. It's like, yeah, I'm like, you know, marriage is hard. I don't want to say nothing. But
I'm sorry, God, Junior. I ain't never heard of that. I want to be like you. I want to be like Mike.
But let me tell you.
That was good. That was real good.
Major, let me tell you. I'm hit because all the relationships I had before was not like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So, hey, there's a before and after. Yeah. And I would have been right with you. I didn't think it was even possible. Wow. But I found out something because I gave, when I say 100% of who I am, completely, honestly, everything, not even a thought, that's the thing that I think is a missing ingredient in my last relationships. That's why I say nobody's been with the man that she's with because I've never been that guy. You know what I mean? I never been that dude. And so I became something that it's like, oh, my goodness. So it's like I'm superstitious. I don't lie to nothing. I don't do anything in my life. Like I was always a little bit afraid to be 100% open. But now my whole life is that way with everything. And, you know, even as boring as it might sound, but, I mean, it feels damn good, man. Mm-hmm. And I'm reaping a lot of benefits from it. And, you know, me and my wife, a lot of people, you know, they say, hey, whatever you got, I want that. And I say, hey, but I'm good. That's when I'm supposed to share this. I wish somebody had it to share with me when I was younger. So that's why I'm here.
and why we appreciate it and why I appreciate it. And I remember when Cody and I left after doing your interview, and it was very different than other interviews because you two were so happy and you were so effusive. And honestly, I didn't understand it as much at that point as I do now, because in the same way you had to go through bad relationships to get there, Cody and I, in many ways, we've been in several relationships with each other, and we've had harder times that we've had to work through and that we've had to work through. And now we're as good as we've ever been, or better than we've ever been. And it's incredible, but it's required going through the BS. It's required being in a bad place and getting to a place where we can be completely open and honest and embrace each other in a way that we couldn't before. And so kudos to you, because it's nice to be able to see those things, because we do sometimes forget that it's possible.
And yeah. And you know,
Major, you are a singer. Put the mic close.
You're right. I am a singer. My music is available everyone on all digital platforms. The hit song Why I Love You is nearly platinum, so if everyone tells 10 cousins to go download it, we're hitting platinum tonight, beautiful people. And this is why I love you. All right. But I will say this. I was joking, but I was also kind of shocked by your testimony, but I believe it. I believe it because I've seen you move in authenticity, and you say what you mean every time I'm around you. I think because we have not had enough people who have journeyed through life sharing their experiences, the all of their experiences, it doesn't do a lot of us that get into the covenant that is marriage. It doesn't do us a service, because we come in barely knowing how. And we come in barely knowing. So barely knowing how and saying, well, what I do know is who I am. So that's got to be what we're going to work with. And I'll just say this. To every single married person, please share information. Share your information. We would have a lot more success stories if we shared the truth of our experiences. You give me hope that our relationship can get to a place where it's just perpetual happiness all of the time. But I do know that for me, and because of my belief system, that sometimes in the midst of the storm, I have to choose to see sunshine. I have to choose to take hold of joy. Joy is a radical act in the midst of not getting what I want. I would love to arrive at the place that you guys have gotten to, which is a beautiful thing, that it's we make room and space for each other always. That's a beautiful thing, but tell us how.
Well, if only there were a show that actually...
And if there it is. There it is. And that made the difference for me, because I was taking mad notes. At first, I'm like, we're just friends. But as soon as I got on my knee to propose, I said, okay, we watch reruns. I started taking notes. I called her daddy. I'm like, you got to tell me how this worked out.
Yeah. But... If I were to offer just a few things that I think really help, is that you got this, as crazy as it sounds, you got to walk the tightrope without the net, okay? If you always have the net underneath you, you haven't given it. That's right. It ain't faith. Fact is, okay, yeah, we've been hurt. We've fallen down. We got to keep getting back up. We got to walk that tightrope. Now, when you get to the other side without the net, it's something that nobody else is going to experience, right? And I feel like when we're hurt, and I always got to say this, you know, my wife is a hero in this situation, because her last situation, for her to trust me, me a dude who was never faithful, almost never, an actor. Look at me, like, you know, I work out and everything. All these are warning signs, big warning signs.
Red flag, right? red flag.
Nothing but red flags, like, oh, he's probably, you know, narcissistic, all in his physique, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's like, for her to go forward, walk that tightrope without the net with this, admittedly, been with a bunch of, you know, a whole lot of women out there, and then trusted me, but it taught me, it said, oh, my goodness, and I had to become the man that deserved her, mm-hmm. right? Or I wouldn't have liked the life I was going to be living for the rest of my life. I would never forgive myself if I blew it this time, right? So, but then she showed me that she was going to walk that tightrope. But that's the thing. I know we've all come from hurt and stuff, but you got to walk that tightrope, right? And if the worst happens and they break your heart, sorry for them. Think about the burden that's going to give them for the rest of their life, and wish them well, and wish them well, and move on, and still have that faith that you can find that person. Me and my wife, we got to the point where it was like, I'm good for myself. If it's just me and my kid, that's it. And that was the great thing, because we weren't going to, you know, try to, you know, it's like a lot of, it's not like two halves trying to make a whole. We were two complete people coming together. You know what I mean? But my suggestion is that and also just take the ego out of it. I mean, I love to be wrong, because then I learn something, right? And so sometimes we protect ourselves by, you know, because we always want to be right. But it's like, if it's a team, you know, we got to work together, right? It's not like, you know, I'm keeping score against you. That's your teammate. That's your life mate. That you should be able to drop all that other stuff, everything else, it don't matter. It's just you two. You know what I mean? So those are the things I think that's some of the glue that really has helped us, because there's no competition. And I've had that competition in my past relationships, and it's so much of a waste of time if that's the person you're supposed to be with, you know? And I was really surprised that, oh my goodness, I've never had even inkling of like just even temptation, anything like that. I thought, being who I was, that the temptation would be a monster that was going to loom. Never wanted anybody else, not even for a half a moment. And I didn't think that was possible. You know, I mean, a lot of brothers, we come from. And I know I came from, I mean, even girlfriends' fathers used to pull me aside. And
we
talk
get
about,
it, Mike. We get it.
No. No, you don't know what I'm about to say. But, you know, it's like, yo, my girlfriends' fathers used to say, yo, keep your side pieces where they supposed to be, and this is how you love my daughter. Like, basically, like, damn, really? It's like that? Like, accepting?
Don't be those guys.
Mike.
You know what I mean? But, like, you know, I grew up with a good man keeps his side pieces in check. That's the way I grew up, thinking like that. Yeah. So, you know, to be where I am and going, wow, that was... But yeah. Think about, you know, that's the kind of conditioning we grew up with. And you know what I mean? So, you know, shedding that and finding the truth of who you are, and you finding your best friend, just... You know, and then don't hide your flaws. Your flaws are what makes you you. And if you hide your flaws, you deny the other person of loving who you are.
That's it. That's true.
Sure. We are more of our flaws than we are our attributes. Mm. Don't hide that.
The thing that hiding it often results in is resentment, because you're not able to actually be yourself. And then it festers and it creates all sorts of problems. And so what I found, both in conversations with people and in my own relationship, is that it's so much easier to just be who you are. And it may be uncomfortable, but talk about it. And if you've chosen the right partner, you can get through it. It'll take time, but you can. And so before we continue, anybody got a question?
No. I was just going to say, piggyback on what you just said, that's really important, especially if you have kids.
Uh-huh.
Because the generation's coming behind you. If we expect the generation coming behind us to be better, then we got to feed them from the table of transparency.
That's it. Yep.
You know?
That's so very true.
Yeah, they got to know where you went wrong and then where you went right. You know what I'm saying? How you fix things. If, you know, I grew up not knowing. I knew my father's, like, mistakes he made in his life because he told me. My mom, not so much. She was more like, you know, I don't want you to know that about me. Mm-hmm. Until I got older, then she would. Now, I'm 46. My mom is 65. She's just now telling me stuff like, you know, I'm like, Mama, you know I know you're human, right? You're not perfect. You're not perfect, you know. You know you had me, you got pregnant when you wasn't married yet. You know what I mean? You got married in March. I was born in August. You know I can. But, you know, you gotta open that up for these kids if you want them to be better and learn from your mistakes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, baby.
It's so very true. And going back to season one, that was something that you both talked about in different ways. Mm-hmm. And you both lived it. Yeah. The transparency and how you were operating, owning your mistakes, owning your crap, and moving forward in that honesty, no matter how uncomfortable it was.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, when we were answering, talking about before, in the first year of my marriage, my wife left me, that first year. And we've been together, I've been with my wife 20.
She left or left?
She left.
Oh.
It's over. It's a wrap. If you
Have
come
you
around
seen
here
Black
again,
Love?
I'ma call the police on you. Don't come around here no more. Got it. Like she was done. Okay. And I've been with my wife almost 28 years now. So in that, you know, and we were together 4 or 5 years before we got married. But we were so young. And she wasn't having it. I would always able, through the makeups and the breakups and the ups and downs, I would always be able to get myself back in there and be like, babe, come on, you know I was tripping. You know, I'm just learning to be a man. I got to do it. And then, but this time she was like done and it like ripped everything. It just ripped me apart. But I thought that's what I wanted. You know what? I ain't even made for this anyway. We not meant to, whatever. And a dream woke me up. I had a dream about her. And it woke me up in the middle of the night. And she wouldn't answer my call. She wouldn't talk to me. It had been months. And then this dream said, call her. I called her. She answered. And then I said, hey, can we talk? And then she said, yeah. We talked for 4 hours. I bought a plane ticket right then and there, got in the plane, left L.A., went back to Florida. And we've been back together ever since. But that, something was speaking to her that night, too. That was God, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, I didn't want that life without her. I realized that was my help me, that was my other piece, and that I needed to do whatever I needed to do to learn how to be deserving of her love and deserving of the relationship that we were in. So it's rocky. But like to your point, our faults, right? That stuff, that's who we are. And when you can get beyond that stuff, because you want to, not because you're taking a bunch of mess from the other person or something, but because you both know this is a human experience, we're both having it, and we both want the same things, and we're both on this road, and we just need to how to make sure that they're running parallel, and we have to make them connect, you know what I'm saying, like, and go in the right direction, and need to be observant of, like, if somebody's going off in the wrong direction a little bit, so we can help check them or let them know, hey, baby, that's not the way we said we was going to go. And so that's what we, you know, once we realized, like, all those ups and downs, that's why we did your thing, because we really wanted to let other people know it's not a fairy tale. It can be, if you do it later in life and, like, you both are at a certain place in your life and you know these things when you get together, both of you, right? Much to Michael's point.
Yeah, that's what's got to be clear, yeah. You know, because I mean, you look great for your age, but it's not like you in your 20s doing this and having perfection in your marriage, you know. But you had some experiences that informed you on how to do it better so that you can experience the better perpetually.
It's the earned fairy tale.
Yes.
That's what what you did in your relationship. Mm-hmm. That's what you did and your wife did prior to your relationship in order to get to that place.
So the book is called This Fairy Tale Didn't Come Cheap.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. It did not. I'm still paying.
Bishop, I would offer this fairy tale didn't come easy, huh?
Yeah, my wife
mine,
and I.
Mine was better.
We've known each other.
The bishop, so humble.
We've known each other going on 26 years now. See, we were together earlier, and I messed that up. And, you know, we came back, and part two came, you know.
See, man, you gotta share. You gotta share
well,
with us, man.
Yeah, so I mean, we've known each other all this time, and you know, and it was some crazy thing that happened. I don't know if anybody, I told the story where you know I took some cold medicine, thought I was gonna die, and then I called her up because I thought I was gonna die, and I told her that you know just in case I died, that she was the one, and you know,
and then he didn't die.
Yeah, then I
Elizabeth.
You know.
Deathbed confessional.
That's how you know.
Well, so, but I ended up living. So then I, you know,
oh shoot,
it was out there. So we had to deal with it. And so that was like something like 12 or something years ago. But it's I had to learn. You know, I was with my best friend, yeah. Right? And if what I pray for everybody is you find the best friend. When you have your best friend, right? It don't take much work, does it? Because you being yourself and them being themselves, it just works. You ain't trying to prove that the other one don't love the other one. You know, that's a waste of time because it's already your best friend. Some things with relationships, it gets a little tricky where, you know, you got your friends, right? You got your friends and some that you see once a month, some that you see a couple times a week or whatever, and it's cool. But then you have your friends that you see every day, and it's not a problem, right? I happen to marry my everyday friend. That's what it is. Right? So when you have a friend that you see once a month and that person moves in with you, well, guess what? It's going to take what? Work. Because it's not the natural state of things.
Yes.
And so you're trying to jam in an everyday relationship in your once a month friend. So that's sometimes with, you know, maybe some couples or whatever, they may have a natural, you know, the kind of thing where you see each other once a week and whatever, and you're jamming it in and trying to make it every day, but you got to have your girls trips and you got to hang out with the guys to before it comes to that, you know, that everyday thing. That's to me what is to break it down simply is you when you become best friends and it don't take discipline when you want to put a smile on that person's face before your own. It don't take any discipline to do that.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, and I'm not debating what you're saying.
I'm not that old. I am. I actually am that old.
Because you remember when I first came out here, you're like, you a little talented young man.
Yeah.
Remember you said that?
I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of him. Anyway,
crazy.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
Long story. You know, yeah, 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 second, right? Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about it after.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there a questionnaire, Major?
I did. Let me get to it. Okay, so I think sometimes when we hear marry your best friend, we think that we're going to experience that dynamic of relationship with our covenant partner, our ultimate marriage partner, the same way that we experience it with best friends. The difference is that I am learning 3 pandemic years in, or one year, is that most of my friendships, if we get upset with each other, we can go separate ways and come back when we're good. When you're in marriage, this ring to me symbolizes the ring of life. And you can go to your corners, but you ain't getting out because the moment you step out, you're outside of the thing that you committed to. And so I think it would be helpful if when we say marry your best friend, and that's your best friend that we speak to what also comes with it. It's your best friend, but you can't ever have you can't escape dealing with the challenges that come up when you meet yourself. I'm learning that marriage is a mirror, and it's the most disrespectful, beautiful, amazing mirror ever, because it shows me my flaws, it shows me my growth, and it shows me my present.
And then what are you going to do with that?
And what am I going to do with it is the challenge that I face every day. So I have to choose to make the most of what is being shown to me. Yeah.
So very true. But I want to get to questions because we don't have a lot of time left. Anybody got a question?
Since nobody got a
My question is to all of you guys up here. I'm huge fans of all of you guys. And I wanted to know, has success in fame, does that come with a certain level of difficulty when it's in your relationship? And how do you alter through all of that?
Yes.
Yeah. And how? Sorry, and how as well, too.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I said that too fast. Hold on. I have a slightly different. My wife is. The length of time that it goes even beyond the 27 years. My wife had a crush on me since the third grade. I didn't know she existed because I was a bad kid and I was getting kicked out of school for fighting all the time. So I didn't, like, when I found her, I thought, like, ooh, I found the woman of my dreams. When she was like, boy, I've been waiting on you to get here this whole time. Finally, you notice me? I got another boyfriend now. What you gonna do? I'm gonna beat him up. And me and you gonna be together. David Alvarado. So we had a different, so she kind of grew up, we grew up together since we were 14. So we grew up together and she watched me have this dream and she had all the sacrifices. It's like being in the military. It's like all my sacrifices are also her sacrifices and stuff. And so she's the one reading lines with me and she's the one seeing how much it's killing me not to get the part. And she's the one seeing, me beating my body up, you know, to try to attain something that sometimes she knows I'm going to get, but she thinks that I'm putting an arbitrary timeline on it and trying to push it harder than I need to push myself and not, you know, too busy trying to make a living as opposed to living a life, you know what I mean? And so as it finally, you know, we get over and we start to really get the roles and, you know, the house and the cars and the money and all that stuff, well, now her part of it is like coming to functions, going, doing things, being around, you know, set, you know, playing this game that she don't want no part of. Because she's seen what it's done. She's seen it beat me up, right? And she don't like that. But she appreciates all the wonderful things about it. So it's kind of like this, it's like a marriage unto itself, like dealing with it all. But she is very good at watching out for the snakes in the grass for me. She's the one that I trust the most. When I go like to sign with a new agency or something like that, I always bring my wife. She's sitting in the back. And if they smart, they would pay much more attention to her than they do to me. Because I don't know. I'm literally just being like, yeah. And then when we go home, I was like, what are we doing, baby? Where are we going? She said, well, he was this was that, that's what that, and that was that. So, no. And she makes the decisions. She makes these choices because I trust her judgment. So there's that great part about it. But also with the amount of time that I have to put into this. And she's a housewife. You know, she had businesses and stuff when we were coming up, you know, supporting her husband, supporting the family. But she, you know, the last 9-10 years, she'd been done. And, you know, it's just watching her have to, and needing her to deal with the fact that sometimes I'm present, but I'm not. And having her adjust to that. That's been a skill unto itself. And she's good at reminding me, hey. You busy right now. You real busy. And then she just walk away. I'm like, oh, okay. But literally, I'm doing like 3 or 4 things. I'm doing all this for us. So she could have, you say you want to go to Fiji, right? I got to get this done. She says, yeah, but that's not all day. I'm just letting you know. You know what I mean? And like, so it has become a thing. But I'm sure just like with any relationship, I mean, they have that. You know what I'm saying?
For me, I think I've been blessed in that my wife does what I do. So we've done it together, and it goes back to that whole friend piece, being best friends. Because like y'all know, y'all go out with a crew of girls, women. Y'all be at the mall, not even buying nothing, just looking in the windows and stuff. You be out there 3 hours, right? You come home and your husband's there going, where you been? Don't you know I'm your husband? You know what he gonna say? Or you know what you're gonna say in your mind? You're gonna go, I was with my friends. So I'm just saying, put the title down, be a little less spouse, a little more friend, and you're gonna wanna come home. That's how that works. I wanna come home to my friend. I wanna be with my friend. I wanna work with my friend. We make, you know, that's just, so fame and all that kind of stuff, that doesn't exist in our house. That's all out here, out, you know, at home. My wife, listen, she would get off a red carpet, I don't care if it's the Grammys, whatever. She'd come home and go straight to the kitchen, start cooking, and bring me a plate upstairs.
I'm famous at work, and then I get home, I'm just Neil.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Listen, I'm in the studio, people listen to everything I say in the studio at home. it's not that
still
way.
Still that little boy that she fell in love, you know what I'm saying? I'm still that little... second grader that she liked, no matter what, you know, which is good.
That don't translate at home.
I know for us, I have a very intelligent and educated wife. She is a new doctor of education, multilingual literacy. Yeah, clap for her. And so. I was very excited to be able to go into marriage and be the provider, to show her this incredible world that I've worked so hard for. And now I'm learning the intention all the more of God saying, she is your help. She is not just here for you just to take care of. Let her reciprocate in showing you she can partner with you in this thing called life. And I didn't realize that in my ambition to rewrite the narrative of what I didn't necessarily always see consistently, that I was possibly imposing a burden that could lead to a resentment that just because you're Mr. Why I love you everywhere else, you know, you have to realize I need you present and I need you to understand that we're in this thing together. We agree to do this thing called life together. And I'm learning it all the more. I made a joke about those that, you know, it's 3 pandemic years, but it's a accelerated learning because I'm seeing so much of the undoing that I have to do, going places where I can tell my folks on my team, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. You know, and then water comes to me. But when I'm home, she's like, okay, well, there's the refrigerator. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go get it. So I love the groundedness that my marriage has blessed me with. Right. Amen.
I know. My wife still brings me breakfast in bed.
I think success only matters insofar as much as you allow it to matter in your relationship. And there are things that'll happen, but if you don't give them any fuel, then it doesn't matter. But if you choose to lean into it or respond to the DMs or you go out to clubs solo or you do all those other things, then sure. But that's your choice. And so not once in the 7 years of marriage with Cody and I have I given an ounce to anything. And so I love my wife, and that's all there is. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what it is. You are not my wife, and you cannot compete with her. And so, but it's really just that simple. And so it's really up to us. And so it's my job to make sure my wife has nothing to worry about. It's my job to make sure she has nothing to be jealous about. And so when you do that, then it's perfectly fine. But if what you want via success or fame or money is the attention of somebody else or the attention of the random or whatever, then you'll get that. But that's your choice. And so I think we are, can we do one more question? We're going to do one more question. It's my company.
Yeah, it's your company, man. Put your foot down.
Me and my wife, but you know.
Boom.
we'll do one more question.
So I was wondering, and anyone can answer this, if you could give some advice. If there's some advice that you would give that you didn't know before you were married to women about what they should, I don't even want to say should, things that they can really should really consider, I guess, when specifically looking for a guy that's ready. Because I don't know if you guys had to get ready or if you were ready or that kind of thing. So
it's a great question. And so I'm going to say,
ask questions.
Yes. But so we should all answer 30 seconds so we can be done. So 30 seconds.
Start with wisdom.
We're going to end with wisdom.
I think
30 seconds, maybe.
I think communication will serve you greatly. Ask the questions that you're feeling. Please don't assume that we know exactly what you're feeling. Your facial expressions don't tell us everything. just ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask the questions, because the right one will answer them. Oh, that's what you were gonna say?
No, I said it. They heard me. I said, ask questions. And then they gave it to you. It's ask questions. Bless the Lord. I said, ask questions. And I was like, oh, that sounds like something I heard before.
I just went with it. The Lord said.
Just hit me.
I would suggest to find the right man, you should listen a great deal. Sometimes men are motivated by a lot of other things, and sometimes you provide the root to the fruit, and you just... And so if this man, we got to watch out for our desires, both sides, right? This man's going to desire you. You don't know if it's for, you know, to conquest, all these things that we can be, it can be mistaken for love. That man may not even know what his own motivation is. You got to really listen. You got to really listen clear without necessarily providing your entire roadmap for him to just follow because he's motivated by something else. Okay, so you really got to listen. And again, that whole warts and all thing, don't hide your flaws, because again, you're going to make sure he's not going to be able to love you for who you are. So, you know, let's not don't play any games, and that'll encourage him not to play any as well.
Amen.
I think the best thing that we can do for a relationship, whether we are endeavoring to be in one or we're in one, is to bring the best possible version of ourselves and being willing to do the work to get there. And the more we can do that, sort of like how you said earlier, it's 100% from each person, and it's really bringing all that you can and you being the best you that you can, and you've worked on your trauma, you've gone to therapy, you've done the stuff so that the next person that you're with isn't paying for the sins of somebody else, where you start off and it has as much potential as possible. But also to the other points from earlier, asking questions. Like, one of the best things that Cody and I did in the very beginning, it's so true, but letting somebody know where you are, like, by asking and understanding where they are as well, but being very clear about what you want and not being afraid of if it may push them away. Well, if it does, it's probably a good thing. So do it in the beginning.
I don't know. What was I thinking? You are perfect just the way you are, but you're not perfect. Know that. We forget that a lot. And we come, well, he should love me exactly as I am. Well, I mean, are you really... Are you doing all the work at being the best version of yourself? Are you, can you honestly say that? Are you presenting the best version of yourself? Ask the
But also, even if you are, at some point in the future, your partner is going to be somebody else, and that version that you were before, if you want to be with that person, may not be the right version. Mm-hmm. And so, do you care enough to figure out what that new version of you needs to look like in order to have a union that is great and strong?
Are you willing to stay in it for this evolution, for their evolution, right? Ask those questions. Ask all the questions, but listen really close to the answers. See, like you said, ask the questions, but listen real close to the answers. Because sometimes you're just like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But you're not hearing what's behind that answer. That answer may mean I hate my mama. You get what I'm saying? And if you don't treat his mama well, I don't know why you expect him to be able to treat you right. You get? So watch how, ask those questions, really listen for the answers, like, and be, you know, observe, listen to the answers and critically think about them, and then watch how he treats other people other than you.
Mm.
Watch how he treat people he don't like.
Mm.
Watch how he treat people he do like. And that'll tell you a lot about all of that.
That's good.
Like, how he's going to treat you later, no matter what he say. Because you know what I'm saying? You might just be all pretty to him right now, and then he acting right. 6 months, 3 months, some people got real, especially with the pandemic, people can, they can hold on for a while now, you know, until they show that real ugly side. But pay attention to how they treat people. Pay attention to how they treat people on the street, on the side of the street when they walk past.
It's so true. Watch mm-hmm. how they treat people who they have nothing to gain from.
Nothing to gain from, bro.
Bam.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And listen, I'm telling you, listen for those answers. Listen very close because they give you gems. I tell this to my sons. My sons are 23, excuse me, and 22. And I taught them, I was like, ask questions. And now by doing, and they were like, yeah, Dad, whatever, I don't care, blah, blah, blah. But now they've done that, they brought home two lovely. Lovely. I'd be happy to have daughter-in-laws.
Look at you, Mike.
You know what I'm saying? So, but by asking questions, and I listen to them talk. They talk. They're not even paying attention to the TV. They like, so what do you think about this? And like opinions and stuff like that, right? Because you may think somebody's cool and you love them and all that stuff like that, and then you find out they say that one opinion, and you're like, wait a minute, what? Yeah, I don't do the vaccines things. I don't. You know, I'm just not into that. Everything ain't perfect, but they're like, yeah, the vaccine is tracking you. You know that? Damn. And then it's your decision to be like, oh, I can deal with this or not. But just know, later on, that same thing that's got them going like that is going to present itself in their later in their evolution as something that you may not be able to deal with, praise
Very
God.
Very true. Mr. Campbell, bring it home.
I would say always be aware that he does not think like you think. He doesn't communicate how you communicate. I'll say it this way. Men, we communicate and we think in little boxes, like, you know, in every box in our brain has a subject in it, and we pull out that one box, careful, don't touch the other boxes, we're gonna deal with what's in that box. And then when we're done talking about what's in that box, we're gonna put the box away, and then we can deal with other things. Women are like, their brains are like wires connected, everything's connected to everything. And if I'm saying something right now, it means, I used to tell my wife all the time, I mean exactly what I said, that's it, I don't mean nothing else. Don't take what I said and say, oh, I said, you look good today. Oh, I didn't look good yesterday? I ain't talking about yesterday. I'm talking about right now. What are you talking about yesterday? I didn't look good last week? I'm like, I just said you look good today. So I'm just talking about right now. We don't think how you think, so you got to make allowances, you know, or just understand, like, you know, sometimes when we're talking, we're just talking about this. That's it. That's all. God bless you.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Marriage Village, what it's about. Appreciate the four of you. Thank you, everybody.